It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Go check them out online, nowakeoutfitters.com. Hour number two, Chris's Paving. Check them out, chrispaving.com. You can give us a call on the Rooter Man Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. Buddy takes your phone calls back over the LaRose Studios. Massive night in the NBA. Final week of the regular season really off and running now. Pels back on Sunday getting that win. Needed win. Against the Suns, snapping their four-game losing streak. Now, four final games for New Orleans all matter. Portland tonight at 9. Sacramento on Thursday. Golden State on Friday. And the Lakers on Sunday. For Phoenix, they got the Clippers tonight. Clippers later in the week on the road over there. Sacramento, Minnesota, their final four games. The Dallas Mavericks in fifth. I don't think you're catching them. Not even going to be worrying about them. If you get the fifth, they would have to probably lose three games. You'd have to win those three that they lose at the same time. They were at Charlotte tonight, then at Miami. That could be a tough game. They're a good team. Then they host Detroit, and then you're at OKC. So in theory, it could happen. But they have a two-game lead on you with four to play. Suns and Pels are tied at 6-7 is New Orleans. The Kings are in eighth by a game. You only have a one-game lead. Now, what's the significance between 7 and 8? Well, 7 hosts 8. 9 hosts 10. At 9, you're Los Angeles Lakers. They are at Golden State tonight. Or they're hosting, sorry, Golden State. Then they're at Memphis on Friday. The NBA, nice enough to give them Wednesday and Thursday off. They get Memphis on Friday, a team they can and should beat, especially if they got something on the line. And New Orleans 2:30 here at the Blender on Sunday. That's what makes this so difficult for the Pels. You have got to, at all costs. You cannot lose tonight. Can't. Sacramento is a massive game. Thursday, a back-to-back against Golden State Friday. And then you got to travel home from San Francisco Friday night. Which, again, it's a 9 p.m. art tip, not 7 over there. Now, do you come home that night, land like at 5 in the morning, or do you leave Saturday morning? Which, again, is a two-hour difference. Even if they leave there at 9 or at 10, that's noon here, four-hour flight. You play Sunday at 2:30 afternoon. It's tough. So, 7, 8, 9, and 10. You're playing 8, you're playing 9, you're playing 10 in 3 of the next 4 games if you're the Pelicans. So that's where they are right now. They are guaranteed, no matter what, to at least be 10. They're guaranteed a play-in spot. That happened last week when Houston lost against Golden State. They were 7 games back with only 6 to go. So that guaranteed the Pel spot in there. So they are in the play-in. Obviously, it'd be a disappointment to be at 9 and 10. I even think to an extent 7 or 8 after being in the 4 spot just about a week and a couple days ago. I understand all of that. Here's where you are right now. There. You got to somehow, some way, get that 6 spot. It came a long way by getting that win back on Sunday. And look, that's one of those things that you had to go and do. Jose Alvarado was huge in that game. 5 three-pointers, that energy coming off the bench. That's what he said on the win.
Yeah, I miss playing basketball in a high competitive level. So, yeah, it was fun. Obviously, we need every win that we can. You know, we know the circumstances of our situation. And then also, you know, we want to play against a really good team, and we know Suns is one of them. And you know, D-Book gave us 50 every time, you know, this three in a row. So we just wanted to maintain him. I don't know what he had. He's obviously a great player, so he is going to score and affect the game. But he didn't have 50, so I know that. So that's what is really good.
There you go. So that does help from that aspect of it. In that game, head coach Willie Green was happy that his team did come through, battle through, and understood what they needed to do the assignment.
It's a credit to the character in our locker room. It's a credit to our staff, our entire staff, not just coaches, front office, managers, performance. Everybody, we stick together. Through difficult times, we don't panic. We don't point the finger. We stick together. And we know we will come out of it better. And sometimes you got to go through some difficulties, which we did, and the timing wasn't great. But this is a resilient group.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, it was important for them to go out there and get that done. Obviously, what Zion did on Sunday defensively with the 5 blocks, offensively with the 29 points, but it was just about the attitude. It was the way he took over. It was the way that the switch kind of flipped for him to be able to do that. And I just love the demeanor. I loved it afterwards.
I was just real locked into the game plan. And, you know, they got a few players over there that just spade to spade. They're special players. So, you know, I feel like if I was guarding one of them late in the game, I'll give my team energy.
Look, one of the things that you want at this time, and if the Pels are ever going to be one of those teams where you're not worried about the play-in and stuff like that, and look, kind of like when Eric, when you called earlier, I understand the level of, you know, disappointment or level of, man, I wish you're not in this situation again. I hear you, and I've said it before. I do think it's different than it was last year. The West is different than it was last year at this time. Kyrie and Luka had just gotten together from the All-Star break in the trade deadline. They didn't even make the postseason. They didn't make the play-in. Remember, they sat players the final week of the season. Their fans were like, what are you doing? The Phoenix Suns didn't have Bradley Beal. That's different. OKC hadn't had a game with Chet Holmgren, the number one pick. He's made a difference. They've been competing and battling for the top spot all season long. Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns came together at the trade deadline. It took a bit for it to work, the mesh. And then you had Anthony Edwards this year playing at an MVP caliber level, taking that next step, looking like baby Jordan at times. The comparison is being used nationally. They're battling for the top spot. Those two teams right there are harder and better than they were last year. The Clippers, when got James Harden added to that team, they're better than they were last year. Paul George, Harden, Kawhi Leonard have managed to stay healthy. They weren't last year, so they're better. Sacramento were one of the darling teams last year, making that stride, getting up there in the top 5, top 6, top 3, top 2 for some time. They're 8th. They're not a terrible team. They got talent. The Lakers have some dude named LeBron and AD, who's actually played most of the season. They are a 45-win team. They're 9th. And Golden State still has Steph Curry, who, as you've seen in the last week and a half, has turned it on a bit. Klay Thompson is at the end of his ride there. Draymond Green, my goodness, he's been an up-and-down mess. But they're still the Golden State Warriors. They're 10th. The Houston Rockets took a little step this year. They're going to be pretty good next year. Memphis would be in this mix, but Ja Morant is out for the season. The two games we saw him this year, when he came back from suspension and we saw him a week later, the Grizzlies won over the Pelicans. When you have Portland, and we all saw the Spurs beat the Pels on Friday, and the Spurs are the last team in the West. So, I understand, and you'd be right by going, hey, disappointment, you're back in the play-in, you gotta get out of the play-in, I hear you. But like I try to tell John, and I'll try to tell some other, the West is different. It's harder this year. You're trying to stave off guys who I think have substantially either good enough talent, better talent, but if not more experienced talent as well. That's the key aspect of this. It's led to late game clutch situations where they couldn't pull through and get some wins. You look around you, Kevin Durant's played in an NBA Finals, has won an NBA Finals. He's an MVP. He's a NBA Finals MVP. Kyrie and Luka are really good. Devin Booker drops 50. I don't have to tell about the Lakers. Warriors have won championships. The Clippers have three Hall of Famers, not all-star players. They're going to be Hall of Famers. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, who's won a championship. And James Harden, the beard. How are you feel about him? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Denver are the defending champs. OKC, Minnesota, the two teams that I would say make the conversations this summer interesting because they have been around your area of the West for the last couple of seasons. They're either younger than you or around that same time frame. And they've had a player or two take that next step and be there. Pels haven't had a playoff series minute tip possession that has featured Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, or CJ McCollum. So that's my explanation as to why I understand people are like, well, here we go again in the play-in. What a shame. Yes, it would be, because you could have done a lot of things for it. You know what? You didn't ask for Brandon Ingram to get hurt, literally, at the worst time of the year. And there are some things that, obviously, you do talk about this summer. Point guard, center, coaching, usage of certain players on the bench, rotations, that's all fair and game. But I don't think it's fair to say that the Pels are terrible, they suck, blow them up, fire everybody because they can't get anything done. The West is harder. Every single night, you don't bring it, you will lose. See last Friday. Period, end of story. You have to have players. You have to have a good amount of them. They have to play well. Oh, by the way, you have to knock down three. The three-point shot in today's NBA has even-stevened everything. You cannot have the best talented team. You knock down more threes than the other team, you got a shot to win. So, all of that being said, that's where they are right now. But you can still get the six. I don't think you can get the five. You may be able to. I don't know. But six is, to me, the more realistic thing. And more importantly, I like what I'm seeing out of Zion. He's going to be the one that's going to help you either get to that six spot or maybe win a play-in game and get into a first-round series. It's not all lost if you're in the seven or eight. If you win that game, you are the seventh seed. So it's not all lost. If you lose, it's a mulligan. You will play the winner of the 9-10. So it's not all lost if you are in the play-in at 7 or 8. You get in the 9 or 10, that stinks. Because that is a winner-go-home. And that winner-go-home can go against the Kings, Lakers, or Warriors. Right? So, let's see what happens. Tali Cosell next on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Mike Greenberg, Greeny.
This is a time of rebirth in Washington. That city, that fan base, that franchise, and everyone associated with it has been dying, begging, and pleading to get out from under the stench of Dan Snyder. And the way to begin it with a bang is to attract Caleb Williams, the first generational prospect of the NIL era, which means he has unprecedented control over where he goes. He's a person who makes millions and millions of dollars. You can't watch a football game during the season and not see a commercial with him in it. So he's okay if he doesn't go to the NFL immediately. He's okay if things don't work out fast. You have to play the long game. And if he decides, and this is a big if he decides that the long game he wants to play is back home for him in Washington, then the Cliff Kingsbury hiring feels like it makes a lot of sense in that regard as well.
Greeny.
with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
The other day, someone said they saw a roach the size of a nutria down around Cutoff. I don't know about that, but nasty pests like roaches, termites, ants, and spiders are running wild up and down the bayou. If you got bug problems, call the local experts at Terminex, and those bayou boys will be there in a jiffy to protect your home or business. So whether you live up the bayou or down the bayou, Terminex is here to get rid of bugs any size.
So call those bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hi, welcome back. As always, appreciate the time Mr. Ollie Cosell gives us. Covers the NBA, covers your New Orleans Pelicans. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Gus, I'm doing well. Looking forward to this last week of the NBA regular season.
Are you really? I'm going to go to the store here in a little bit here. You know, the ones where you can get like a whole bunch of stuff in bulk. And I'm just, should I get Pepto and acid or just beer? Like, what am I getting to help me this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, most of the games are on the road. So, hey, that's where the Pelicans went. Nothing was bigger than
you know what? Okay, you said it. Explain it to me. You go to the games. I see you. You got a nice little spot there as well. And you probably look at the graph as I do. He probably just has, like, worn temples from just rubbing his temples. Why can't this team shoot at home?
Yeah, that's a little bit strange, right? I think, and I'm glad you're starting with that instead of just talking about wins and losses overall. Because I think when you just look at the context, a lot of key players have been out more for the home games than the road games, like Jose Alvarado, for instance. And it's crazy, but the Pelicans are massive winners when he plays, for instance, right? They're 11-15 when he doesn't play. They're, I want to say 32-15, 17, something along those lines when he just plays, right? So it's stuff like that. But yeah, Gus, overall, Trey doesn't shoot as well at home. Most of the players, actually, I want to say, don't shoot as well at home. But it's not crazy, but it is noticeable. As we know, it's always the opposite, right? Usually teams shoot better at home, so hopefully it's just a little glitch, right? And we're going to see that regression play-in tournament playoffs. Because last year, the team actually shot better at home. Last couple seasons, actually. It's either been close to even or better at home. So maybe it's an anomaly. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to do that. Now, that said, one of those players that seems to shoot differently, he can't buy a three at home. CJ McCollum, much less a floater or runner. My goodness, he couldn't have shot better. Seven threes on the road on Sunday. Let's start with him, then I'm going to ask you about Jose, and then we can really break down what Z did. But CJ McCollum, man, he's vital to this team. I mean, the win-loss record tells you when he hits a certain number of points, they win.
Yeah, exactly. Look, especially when Brandon Ingram's out, right? Suddenly you need to have that viable second scorer on the team. And that's what, you know, CJ's largely done in his career. So it's not that he's unfamiliar with the role, and he's done fairly well, I think, with it. Just, you know, over the last couple of weeks where the Pelicans needed a basket maybe late, things didn't go for him, in for him. But they usually don't for almost any player in the league when you look at clutch stats, right? KD numbers are down. Most players shoot noticeably worse. So to your point, though, yeah, CJ's points are incredibly vital because this team is defensively minded to where most of the guys out there, they just kind of feed off of one another. They can't, say, either get their own shot, run off a screen, or to score from any level comfortably, and that's what CJ can do, right? So, like you said, Gus, when he scores, they win. They're 24-6 when he just scores 20 or more. Mm. So, yeah, that says everything.
Yeah, no doubt. Jose Alvarado, it's one of those players, look, it's easy to say, man, you miss Brandon Ingram, which, again, we can go into it a ton, whether or not he should be your leader and assist and initiate your offense, but he is what he is. You're missing him. But bottom line, this team needs Jose Alvarado to win, huh?
Yeah, like I said, 35-17 when he just plays. And that game against the Phoenix Suns, things weren't going well, right? They couldn't throw it in from the ocean for the first 10 minutes in that first quarter. But Jose came in, I thought he hit two of the biggest threes of the game, even though it was in the first quarter, because suddenly Pelicans got right back in it. Phoenix fortunately didn't pull away, right? Devin Booker didn't put on his usual show, but it was really Jose that got it started, because as soon as after he did his thing, he hit a couple threes, then CJ ignited. And then Jose finished off that first half with a couple more made threes. What you love about him is we already know, right? Plays with more energy than anybody. He'll get up in anybody's face. And we know he's got a particular thing for the Phoenix Suns, right? But yeah. I just think in general he plays with that tenacity. But the thing that you kind of really miss, especially when you don't have a B.I., I don't think there's a bench player that plays with more confidence. But I think about every shot you saw him shoot from three over the last month or so, there's no hesitation, zero. He's actually looking for it. He's hoping he's open so he can shoot. And I noticed that particularly in that Suns game. And that's what I feel like the bench has been missing, right? Especially since Trey moved in the starting lineup. So, yeah, Jose, he makes that team kind of go, right, secretly. And I think we know why, but yet it shows up in the wins and losses, even though not in his raw stat line most nights.
The other thing, man, obviously that we saw on Sunday was the play of Zion Williamson. I just played the bite a little bit ago to me that really stood out is this one right here, Holly.
It's just kind of one of those moments. You know, people remember the greats because of key moments. Whether it's in the playoffs or a key regular season win, people remember moments. And, you know, if I want to be one of those players, I got to make it happen in those moments.
Look, we've been waiting for that. Fans have wanted that. They probably would have loved that the first season that he came in, right? And I had to wait to January for the Spurs and all that. However it is, it's here, or at least it's starting to be here. And maybe we can point to the last couple of games, that game, as to this is when Zion got that respect. That you heard KD at the end of the game. He spoke about the Pels differently. He spoke about Zion differently. When you play the way that he did, five blocks, couple on KD, taking over, fist bump like Tiger Woods, that's a different level, right?
Yes, it is. And look, Zion's been talking about how he understands these moments, being a competitor, wanting to win, ever since he's put on a uniform. But the thing we've noticed this year is the fact that he started the year obviously not in shape. And, you know, was put in front of that Lakers spectacle in the play, I keep saying play and tournament, but the mid-season tournament, I've forgotten the name. But he didn't have a performance that was even worthy of talking about. And since that time, he's just become a different player where he's become better. And you can see the conditioning almost improved by, you know, every week or so. And now he's gotten to the point where I think his body's now in line where he wants to be mentally. And now he can take over a game. And just to see, pick any of the blocks, Gus, or maybe even let's talk about the two mid-range shots. But everything he's doing out there is as confident of a Zion as we've ever seen in the NBA, right? We saw this guy consistently at Duke playing with that passion and being able to just change the game at any which point on any part of the floor. We saw that against the Phoenix Suns. I mean, when you're sitting there blocking the three-pointer on one attempt and then a couple plays later, you're blocking KD at the rim, right? As a seven-footer. That says everything about what I think Zion's doing right now. So I think we're seeing playoff Zion. And thankfully, he's in 100% physical shape, right? To be able flying around, playing and having that stamina to go 40 minutes. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? He's not needing those rest breaks in the middle of a game anymore.
Yeah. No, you're right. I brought that up, Ollie, on Monday's show. 40 minutes for him, 41 for C.J. McCollum. That's leadership. That's how you do it. I mean, you do it by your actions, man. All right, that means here we are this week, dude. This is nuts when you look at it. I've gone through the schedules. I've gone through what every team plays or not. So tonight's one of those, I mean, you absolutely cannot lose. You need every single win, right? So how do you look at where the Pels are? I think they can't get five. I think six is realistic. Clippers. For the Suns, followed by Sacramento, Minnesota, which is a tough four games. So I do think you got that. You got a game, and you play the Kings on them already with the tiebreaker. The Lakers, they're really close at a game and a half. So I want Golden State to win tonight. Let's start there. Who do I want to win tonight? Golden State?
I'm going with Golden State, right? Because that almost pushes the Lakers away to where if you got to play that last game where it's got some kind of meaning, right, the Pelicans, Lakers here in New Orleans, then you can take care of a lot of business just in that game alone.
I agree. And my other reasoning for that, Ollie, is
if they win tonight and the Pels for some reason, I mean, you still got three more games because the Lakers only have three games total. So the Lakers would only have Memphis on Friday. The NBA was kind enough to give them two more days off before they go to Memphis. That's a game they should win. And then they get to fly 45 minutes south and hang out all Saturday, go hang out by the river, eat some beignets, chill, and then wait for Sunday's 2:30 game. New Orleans is flying back Saturday after a back-to-back from the West Coast. So you win tonight if you're L.A. Pels lose one of those back-to-back games. The sixth spot is a very realistic possibility, I think, for them, especially if the Suns don't win two of those four games, right? All of a sudden, you just gave them reason to come in Sunday at 2:30 with a lot on the line to get out of the play-in. So Golden State's got to win tonight.
Yeah, I couldn't have broken it down any better. The toughest schedule by far is Phoenix, right? Not only do they have really four good matchups remaining, three of them are coming on the road where they haven't been playing nearly as well as, say, the Pelicans or some of these other top teams in the West. So that's a toss-up. I think the projection systems are saying it all. I don't know if you've looked at stuff like that, Gus, but I have. You know, whether you want to look over on Basketball Reference or called playoffstatusibelieve.com, they all think and lead towards the Pelicans grabbing the sixth spot, right? They don't see the Suns getting it. In fact, they think the Suns pretty much have as much of a chance as the Kings do. Right? So that says a lot to me. I've been reading that these projection systems actually pretty much nail these things kind of well down the stretch of seasons. Right? I'm not going to put any money on this, but I like the sound of it anyway. That's where I'm hanging my hat on. Pelicans have been much better on the road, we know. And if Zion plays like playoff Zion, I don't think almost any of this is going to matter, right? You just want to have enough guys available, right? Dice, him going questionable here in the past hour, that kind of hurts, but hopefully it's just for Portland.
Yeah, and I agree. And to this point, you mentioned they play better at home. And while maybe for some reason they lack the sense of urgency or energy or shooting here at home, I haven't seen that on the road for them, huh? I mean, the last couple of games, even against like Detroit or, you know, in teams of that nature where they didn't have their best players, the Pels did come out and take care of business early and have good starts, which is why I feel good about tonight. They seem to play the Kings well. Friday gives me the heebie-jeebies, dude. Klay Thompson has come out yesterday begging for Draymond not to get suspended. It's their last stand. I just want to get out of there Friday without Draymond doing a basketball move to one of our players' unmentionables, giving him a concussion, getting him suspended for the Lakers game. Like, I legitimately want to just get out of that game without Draymond doing something to affect you. That's how I feel about Friday. So I got to win today, and I got to win Thursday.
Yeah, you would think he might want to send a message knowing that, right? He might be facing the Pelicans in the play-in tournament. But here's my thing. I don't think he's going to do anything outrageous. Why? Because can you imagine if he actually gets himself suspended for the play-in or playoffs? You might as well just kill that dynasty on the spot, right? That team is not coming back together as we see presently constructed. So I don't think he's going to put that in danger.
That's a good point.
I don't think Steph would allow it. You know, honestly, I think he listens to Steph enough, has had enough screw-ups this year. I don't think that'll happen. But you're right. He's going to still try and change, you know, something within the game with just his verbal abuse, I like to call it, or flailing around. But I don't think we're going to see something stemming along the lines of him swinging the actual arm and trying to hit somebody in the face.
Let's see what he does tonight. Remember, they got the Lakers tonight here. Let's see what takes place, man. Yeah. Who do you think wins the one seed, man? It's incredible. Three teams separated by one game.
Because I feel like OKC just doesn't want to get that one seed, right? For whatever the reason. Because Shea's missed a lot of, you know, games here down the stretch. Some other players have missed time. And I know some of them have some injuries, but I feel like they could play a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe they don't want the Warriors or Lakers. I see what you're saying. I got you.
Right, yeah. They're a young team. And if I'm OKC, I definitely won't want to face either of those teams. So I think it's going to be Denver. I just think they'll handle their business. But I've been impressed by Minnesota. I remember when we talked about when Kat first was going on a lengthy absence, right, with that injury. We thought Minnesota was going to slip down the rankings. They haven't done that.
No.
That's kind of impressed. But I still, you got to put the vote to Denver. Even though they've been without Jamal Murray, that team just with Nikola Jokic, man, they're silly, still silly good.
Well, I just mentioned the three teams. One of those will likely be the three seed. And if the Pels do get the six seed, which you want, you would be facing one of those three, right? I mean, I don't know. I kind of look at it where I know a lot of people don't want, you know, Denver. And especially with their home record where they are, if they get that home, that's fine. I look at Minnesota. Anthony Edwards is something else. But I kind of feel like this team at least is competitive against Minnesota in some of those games. And OKC, I kind of feel like, you know what, I'm not getting swept. I don't know. Do I at least feel, or do you agree with me, that with Minnesota and with OKC, I'm not getting swept, I don't think.
1,000%. I think we've seen just this year alone how the Pelicans play Minnesota. And in years past, I think Brandon Ingram plays Minnesota well. So you've got those two things going for you, which, by the way, let's include that. Hopefully Brandon Ingram will be back maybe for that Golden State game or, at worst, that Lakers game. But, yeah, Gus, look, Minnesota doesn't scare you because the Pelicans have no problem scoring against their twin towers. Right? So you just got to worry about, I feel like, Anthony Edwards. And if Dyson's healthy, you've got Herb and Dyson to throw at him.
Good point.
With OKC, they're just so young, right? I know that they play much better this year, but again, they play a style similar to the Pelicans. But boy, I think they're finally discovering something, right? I mean, this last game against Phoenix, Jonas Valanciunas played 4 minutes, and they didn't give up any kind of nasty rebounding disparity, right? They actually won the rebounding battle. So if that becomes a staple and you still get up enough threes, boy, that's, I think, the perfect way to beat OKC.
Ali Kelsell breaking it down as always, man. Appreciate it. Go take a nap. I'm going to drink an energy drink or two. We got three straight 9 p.m. games coming here, man, before they got going. But yeah, I tell you what, one thing to help you keep up is you will be scoreboard watching as obviously the Suns play at 9, the Lakers and Warriors play at 9, and your Pelicans play at 9. Thank you, Ali, as always, man. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard. Your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
This is Neil Small Engines here. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals, then we brought that professional performance home. Gravely Residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are tough as nails. Operator comfort beyond compare. We have had over 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck and put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine with 3 locations, Houma, Thibodaux, and Cutoff.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Hour 2, Chris is Pavings. ChrisIsPaving.com. It's the way to go check them out. Going to make this the last segment of the show. Got to bring little guy to go get a test. I think he's got the flu, which is awesome for me. So anyway, I got to get to the doctors before they close. So we'll wrap up 15 minutes before normal time. Matt Moscona, after further review, is going to be still coming to your way here at the top of the hour. A couple of things we did touch on earlier today on the show. Of course, UConn's dominance, things of nature. Look, John Calipari apparently just posted something on social media that he's leaving Kentucky?
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program. There have been opportunities that have been presented to us, so we're discussing them as a family.
So he's stopped a little short of saying he's going to Arkansas. We all know he's going to Arkansas. Anyway, so that's where it is there. As far as the national championship of Dan Hurley, he was asked by Pat McAfee earlier today. So you going to Kentucky?
My phone broke on Saturday, so I had no idea that like any of that stuff was going on. And then I got those questions after the game that you're not prepared for, and that your agent doesn't want you to answer. he just wants you to say nothing. It's just keeping it real. But yeah, I mean, we're not. I mean, UConn right now, our mindset, literally, once we got on that team bus, I think I turned around and said, like, you know, where's the East Regional next year? All right, first two rounds are in Providence, and then the Sweet 16, Elite Eight are in Newark, New Jersey, where I lived and worked for 9 years. And then the Final Four is in San Antonio. So, yeah, I mean, your mindset, we're going to enjoy this, you know, for a couple of days, Pat, but, like, it's going to fade quickly. And then you're going to get back to work, and you're going to put a roster together that, you know, can hopefully go for a dynasty.
Scott Van Pelt had this to say on Dan Hurley and UConn's run right now.
This is the thing for me. It's 6-25. I grew up in the ACC with Carolina and Duke, Kansas and Kentucky. Like, those to me are the four. But what UConn has done in this last 25 years is its own place. He said we're running college basketball. He's not wrong. The two in a row with a brand new cast this year is insane. Hurley is a bad boy right now, and his team deserves all the accolades it's earned. 12-0 and 12-0 against the number. That's insane, man.
Seth Greenberg,
what you saw there the last three weekends, and people were watching college basketball locked in. I see. Every single time I go to practice, there's a standard. I call them Saban-esque. They're Saban-esque in how they run that program. They don't have the number of championships. Dan Hurley only has two right now. But in the manner in which they run that program, they're Saban-esque.
And that's kind of one of the things that I was saying earlier today. When there's so much speculation, do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? And look, there's something to be said about when you set up your thing. It's what Nick did in Alabama until he didn't want to do it anymore the way that it's being run, or didn't want to go through the hassle of how much money you get paid. But point being, it was self-sustainable. When you can get it to where it's self-sustained, players want to go play for you, and the type of players that you have on how you coach. Because I haven't heard it this week. Where he does coach you, as in old school style, right? You expect to play defense. He will coach you hard. I mean, there's expectation levels. This isn't the, what is it that you want kind of program from that aspect of it. And Jim Boeheim said similarly, kind of what I was feeling.
This modern myth that, you can't coach hard anymore is totally a myth. Dan Hurley coaches as hard as any coach that I've ever seen. He has a good example of Jim Calhoun, but Bob Knight, Mike Krzyzewski, all these coaches coach hard. He coaches hard. And you can do that, especially if you get the right group of players who want to win and know what it takes to win.
And let's be honest. Which one right now is the better job?
I don't see Dan Hurley leaving Connecticut. And no, it's not a better job in Kentucky. I don't see him leaving. I mean, anything is possible in this world, but I don't see him leaving. He has proved he can win national championships at Connecticut. so he doesn't need to go there to win. Crazy fan base there. You can win two in a row there and be fired the next year if you're not right, really good. But I don't know who will go. It's a hard job. I've always said only two coaches I know can handle that job, Rick Pitino and John Calipari.
And leave it to Mike Greenberg, though, to stop just shy of calling UConn blue blood.
To me, Kentucky basketball still represents something that maybe to younger people it does not. When I think of the Blue Bloods, I think of Kansas, I think of Kentucky, I think of North Carolina. I think that Indiana has sort of forfeited that. They've been too bad for too long. They just haven't been good enough to remain that. That's what I think of when I think of Blue Bloods. UConn has been the best program. No one's arguing that. Duke came along and Krzyzewski sort of turned that into one. And they've been so good so long and so visible, so relevant, that I feel like they've entered the Blue Blood realm. They certainly weren't then. I feel like UConn, they're the best program, and of that there's no debate. They've won six championships in the last quarter century, twice as many as anybody else. But when you say the bluest of blue bloods, do you say UConn?
I mean, I don't see why. I guess maybe I see it differently. And I had that brief momentary experience of being able to actually go to Stores, Connecticut, see UConn, and go into the building and see what 10,000 is for women's basketball. And then obviously know the history with the men here as well. You walk in and they purposely have you go down a certain stairwell that opens up and leads to just nothing but portraits and paintings and pictures of former greats and players. I mean, it is a joke. There's probably a shorter way. You could probably get dropped off at another end of the arena on another street, but no. We're going to have you come in a certain way, so you will literally walk past all the NBA players, all the national championships on the men's side, and then you're going to walk right through where all the women's are, and then you walk out on the court, and they probably have run out of material. There's so many white banners all up and down in that area, and then that's the thing. That school is absolutely hoops. So, yeah, wherever it is, whether it's Lexington, whether it's Stores, which is in the middle of nowhere, but I always say this, it is nice to have, like Saban has his lake in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Alabama's beautiful. Georgia and all those different places here as well. When the season starts, you barely really kind of have any time to do anything. And during basketball season, it's winter. So you spend most of your time inside of a gym or in a bus or on an airplane and then walking in and out of each as quickly as you can. So stay where you are. You kind of feel nice. Speaking of staying where you feel nice, Augusta, I will play this. This is Tiger from earlier today. What is his expectation level? What can he do here at another Masters?
What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
There it is. That is Tiger. My final thing here before we head on out. Scott Van Pelt, what does he think the realistic expectations on Tiger are?
Completing a round at this point is where you start, and I'm not being a jerk. I mean, he's had such difficulty just his body allowing him to finish rounds. So that's where you start. I love the guy's mentality. It's been how he's wired since he came out, and it'll be how he's wired until he stops playing. But realistic, play well enough to give himself a chance to make the cut. If he does, he'll establish a new record for most consecutive cuts made. But winning, I mean, that feels like a hell of a bridge to try to cross to me.
Yeah, no doubt. That'll do it as I got to step away a little bit earlier. Thank you, buddy, for that here as well. Matt Muscone, after further review, will be coming your way top of the hour. Don't forget Pelicans and Blazers tonight, 9 o'clock. Scoreboard watch, Lakers and Warriors, 9 o'clock, and the Suns at 9 as well against the Clippers. We'll see you tomorrow. Thursday, we'll be at Francesca by Katie's Deli, Pizzeria, and Katie. We'll see Chef Scotty. John will complain. We'll see you then. You've been listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.